Believe it or not, the Bible is packed full of sex. For some reason, it seemed like a good idea to look into the different Bible verses that mention sex and see which Bible verses are the weirdest. Somebody had to do it, right? Well, not really, but I did it anyway, so enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, at least act like you did. It'll make me feel a little better about myself. If you happen to be a female, we both know you've had plenty of practice faking it. What's one more time going to hurt? Huh? Enough of my insanity, let's read the Bible. Table of Contents. Lot. Jacob. Onan. Judah. Solomon. Nephilim. Lot has drunk sex with his daughters in a cave. Sunday school lessons tend to focus on God turning Lot's wife into a pillar of salt instead of this story. I can't imagine why that might be, can you? Maybe it has something to do with the blatant incest described in Genesis 19:30-38. It reads, "Greater than Lot and his two daughters left Zoar and settled in the mountains, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. He and his two daughters lived in a cave. 31 One day the older daughter said to the younger, 'Our father is old, and there is no man around here to give us children, as is the custom all over the earth. 32 Let's get our father to drink wine and then sleep with him and preserve our family line through our father.'" Greater than 33 That night they got their father to drink wine, and the older daughter went in and slept with him. He was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. Greater than 34 The next day the older daughter said to the younger, "Last night I slept with my father. Let's get him to drink wine again tonight, and you go in and sleep with him so we can preserve our family line through our father." 35 So they got their father to drink wine that night also, and the younger daughter went in and slept with him. Again he was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. Greater than 36 So both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. 37 The older daughter had a son, and she named him Moab. He is the father of the Moabites of today. 38 The younger daughter also had a son, and she named him Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the Ammonites of today. Greater than Genesis 19:30-38. Something tells me Lot's daughters would lose any drinking game centered around Never Have I Ever. If you've done it in a cave and you've done it with your dad, you've probably also done it by accident with a vegetable upside down while chugging from a keg, along with countless other ways, all in the name of preserving seed. To make it even weirder, the Bible seems to blame the whole thing on alcohol, a strategy you may recognize from work the morning after karaoke night. The alcohol in this case is wine, which raises the question, how much wine do you have to drink before you become oblivious to the fact that you are having sex with your daughter a second time? Come on Lot, tell it to someone who will believe it. I'm just saying, if it happened just as it's written, which I doubt, but if it did. Lot and his daughters were trying to pull some wool over some eyes as far as I'm concerned. Jacob, two sisters and a handmaid. In Genesis 29:21-28, Jacob had taken a job where he was to be paid entirely in women. His boss, Laban, promised his daughter Rachel in exchange for 7 years of work. After the 7 years, Laban pulled a fast one and swapped in his ugly daughter, Leah, instead. Greater than 21 Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife. My time is completed, and I want to make love to her." Greater than 22 So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. 23 But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and Jacob made love to her. 24 And Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter as her attendant. Greater than 25 When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" Greater than 26 Laban replied, "It is not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one." 27 Finish this daughter's bridal week, then we will give you the younger one also, in return for another 7 years of work. Greater than 28 And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Greater than Genesis 29:21-28. Unless Leah and Rachel were sisters of the identical Mary-Kate and Ashley variety, there is very little reason why Jacob wouldn't realize fairly early in the process that he had the wrong sister. Who knows, maybe they were serving some of Lot's date rape wine at the party. The Torah offers further exposition in Megillah 13b. Jacob and Rachel had actually expected Laban to perform the wife swap and devised a secret signal to reveal that it was really her under the veil. Apparently lifting the veil was too obvious a solution. However, in a last-minute display of womanly wile, what Torah scholars agree is bitchiness in modern English, Rachel taught Leah the signal, and she used it to double-double-cross Jacob, fucking him in every possible meaning of the word. After waking up to the presumably hideous Leah, Jacob offered to work another 7 years just to get Rachel. This teaches Christians today that the Rachel of Genesis was hotter than the Rachel of Friends. Leah, however, was named after Hidden Beauty, or Butterface. To make it even weirder, if you read the passage again, you'll notice that right in the middle of it is mention of a third woman, Zilpah, Leah's handmaid. She's right between the verse commencing the night of boning and the verse concluding it. What was she doing there? Watching? Is it our fault that we're picturing that whole scene as just a writhing Chex mix of sex organs? Onan killed by God for not getting his sister-in-law pregnant. If you've ever heard masturbation referred to as Onanism, well, you've got one guy to thank. Onan was apparently one of the pioneers in the art of ejaculating somewhere other than into a sex partner, as we'll see in Judah 38:8-10. Greater than Genesis 38:8-10, ESV, 8. Then Judah said to Onan, "Go into your brother's wife and perform the duty of a brother-in-law to her, and raise up offspring for your brother." 9. But Onan knew that the offspring would not be his. So whenever he went into his brother's wife, he would waste the semen on the ground, so as not to give offspring to his brother. 10. And what he did was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and he put him to death also. Greater than Genesis 38:8-10. Now there's something a woman never forgets. You're getting busy with your husband's brother, he splooges on the ground, and promptly gets slain by the Lord. Talk about awkward. This particular verse was taken slightly out of context when it gave birth to Onanism, which refers to both coitus interruptus and masturbation. It's probably just as well that he died, and didn't have to walk around the rest of his life listening to people refer to jerking off as doing an Onan. To make it even weirder, this story became the basis for Christian arguments against masturbation. The story does not address the counter-argument, what if God has no righteous purpose for your semen that particular day, and you're just bored? Judah mistakes his daughter-in-law for a prostitute. Try to find all the things wrong in this passage, from Genesis 38:15-16. Greater than 15. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face. 16. Not realizing that she was his daughter-in-law, he went over to her by the roadside and said, "Come now, let me sleep with you." "And what will you give me to sleep with you?" she asked. Greater than Genesis 38:15-16. You'd think the Bible would have just edited out all of the misconceptions involving veils, considering how many times people accidentally have sex with the wrong person in this book. Pesky veils, and now our only excuses are, like, alcohol, right, blood. Of course, us modern Westerners probably don't realize the kind of impact a veil can have on a relationship. Our women are free to just walk around with their faces flapping in the wind, heralding their identity to the world. You have to hand it to the countries where women still wear veils, it must be a lot easier to write sitcom episodes that revolve around wacky cases of mistaken identity. To make it even weirder, note that the frisky femme above is the same woman, Tamar, who got to witness Onan being slain by the Lord for coitus interruptus. Getting right back on that horse, Tamar. Only instead of a horse, it's Judah Onan's dad. Score. If you don't think that's hot, you've never been to a drunk family reunion where everyone's wearing veils and no one is aware it's a family reunion. Solomon's Song is a weird song about sex. Solomon's Song, which he creatively titled Song of Solomon, was mostly about breast. The below references can be seen in 1:13, and 2:6, and 4:5, and 4:16, and 5:4, and 7:7-8, and 8:10. Okay, the whole thing was pretty much titties, I love titties. Take a look. Greater than 13. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me, he shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. Greater than Song of Solomon, Cant 1 verse 13. Greater than, 2, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. 5, stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. 6, his left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Greater than Song of Solomon, Cant 2 verses 2-6. Greater than, 5, thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Greater than Cant 4 verse 5. Greater than, 16, awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden, and eat his pleasant fruits. Greater than Cant 4 verses 16. Greater than, my beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. Greater than Cant 5 verse 4. Greater than, 7, as thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breast to clusters of grapes. Greater than, 8, I said, I will go up to the palm tree, I will take hold of the boughs thereof, now also thy breasts shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples. Greater than. Greater than Cant 7 verses 7 to 8. Greater than I am a wall, and my breasts like towers, then was I in his eyes as one that found favor. Greater than. Greater than Cant 8 verse 10. Damn. I don't know why this is in the Bible, and I don't care. If Solomon had stuck around to write the whole Bible, we would have had a Jesus on steroids threatening to love people to death. With bodice cleavage so awesome it would deserve a cinematic vehicle of its own. The reference to women with tower breasts has caused some confusion, though. Since I prefer a literal interpretation, I think Solomon's concubines had breasts that were three stories tall with lookout posts in the cleavage. Either way, the Bible is a bigger supporter of breasts than a push-up bra. If you don't like that, then you can be the one to explain to God why you chose to illustrate every book of the Bible except this one. To make it even weirder, here's a challenge. See if you can envision any possible metaphor for 5 to 4. My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. If you can, please let me know in the comments. I'm at a loss on this one. Do you think it means a literal bowel movement? Hand by the hole of the door could mean hand near vagina, I suppose, but why does this cause an immediate bowel movement? Like I said, I'm at a loss. Let me know what you think. Gods, giants, women and babies. So you'll notice that most of these are from Genesis, the early days of the Bible when apparently mankind was first experimenting with just how creepy and weird sex could get. But probably nothing in the book tops what happens in Genesis 6:4. Greater than 4 there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Greater than. Greater than Genesis 6:4. I'm not a doctor. However, I do know that the baby of an African person and a Chinese person looks kind of African and kind of Chinese. Knowing this, it's safe to assume that the baby of a literal giant and a human-sized woman would look kind of like a huge-ass baby. This did not deter the women of the day, who I'm guessing willingly participated in these gigantic sexual acts. I'm sure even the size queens regretted that decision once it was over. The thought of pushing out a gigantic newborn has to start weighing on your mind and body. Then 9 months later, surprise! You're giving birth to a veritable 9-year-old. Hope you've been having so much giant sex in the meantime that your vagina is approximately as passable as a slip and slide, because it's going to come in handy when Junior somersaults out of it, holding an axe and yelling at you for using the last razor. To make it even weirder, this happens right before God causes the famous flood that destroys everything on the earth, except for Noah and everybody on his boat. So of all the perversions mankind has ever invented, it appears the giant sex was the one thing that was just too weird for God, to the point that everyone else had to suffer for it. Nice going, guys.